So we're going to look at Luke chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 17. Just a short little passage, Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. It says, people were bringing infants to Jesus so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Jesus, however, invited them. He said, let the little children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we come to your scriptures today, just show us what we have to learn from the children. I know that we see the amazing seasoned saints in our life, the men and women who have walked with you for so long through incredible things, and we have so much to learn from them. But Lord, you teach us today that we have something to learn from the smallest child, from the little children around us. And so today I ask that we would look into this passage, that we would understand what it is that you're talking about, and that we would learn this lesson from the little children that is so vital to our relationship with you and so vital to us entering the kingdom of heaven. And so, Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross and glorify Jesus Christ here in this place. He is the only one who is worthy. Heavenly Father, I ask that you teach us through your word, through your scriptures, through your living and active word. Lord, I ask that you would come and you would change our lives through the power of your word. We need more than a speech today. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from our God. And so I ask that you would speak today to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage is really interesting because it starts off with the world's view of children. In verse 15, that's the first thing we see, is how the world views children. And this is especially the world at Jesus' time. And that short little verse, verse 15, it says, people were bringing infants, little babies, to Jesus so that he could touch them, so he could bless them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked the people that were bringing the babies to Jesus. They rebuked them. Now, what's that about? Children during this time were not the most revered members of society here in this time and in this place, and they were actually not allowed to be around important people. Scribes, Pharisees, teachers, the children weren't allowed to be around those important people. They were too important for the children. They didn't have time for those kids. And so during this time, the disciples obviously saw Jesus at the very least as a great teacher. But more than that, they understood him as the Messiah. And so if he is truly this man, then these people have no place bringing their children to Jesus. In this time, this society, these children would not be welcome in the presence of such a great man. And so they rebuke the people. Now, unfortunately, as we hear that a lot of times, we go, oh man, what a horrible society. You know, what a terrible bunch of people. But we may try to deny it, but the world we live in has a pretty similar view. And here's what I mean by that. If the president of the United States visits a classroom full of second graders, it makes it on the evening news, doesn't it? Man, he spent time with children. He's so important, and he has so much to do, and yet he spent time with the kids. Our society, you know, Bo mentioned a little bit about it earlier, but our society at this point in time has almost zero concern for the breakdown of the family. It's not even talked about anymore. It's so normal. Well, that has such a huge effect on children. And we even talk about that. They get forgotten about in that whole scenario. And I truly believe, I'm not going to get into this today, but a lot of the ugly things that we see today from young people, from these especially men, young men transitioning from adolescence into adulthood, is because of that breakdown of the family, and because we haven't cared about them when they were children. Our politicians, this is the one that frustrates me. I feel like so often they pretend like they care for kids when it furthers their agenda. And sometimes I really believe in our society they're used as pawns, which is worse than ignoring them. And then worst of all, we don't even recognize them as people, as human beings, until they're outside the womb, do we? And so as much as we would say, oh man, what horrible people, they won't even let kids come to Jesus. A lot of times in our world, kids are seen the same way. We push them to the side, they're not that important until for some reason we benefit from them. And so in many ways, children are pushed to the side in our society. And so we as we look at this now, have to ask ourselves an honest question. And that is, okay, do we have anything to learn from them? Because we don't view them. Now, hopefully in the church, and especially in this church, I know that we value our children in an incredible way. But as the world, and as people in America in general, do we really think we have something to learn from these children? Because as they're pushed away, what does Jesus say? No, let them come. Bring them to me. And so that's the world's view of children. Now we need to see Jesus' view. This is how Jesus sees children. In verse 16, it says, Jesus, however, invited them. He said, bring them here. Let the little children come to me and do not stop them. Now this is huge, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He doesn't say, bring them here. They're cute. Oh, they're adorable. The kingdom of God belongs to the ones who are like these. Jesus welcomes the little children. Why does he think they're so important? Why does he say this incredible thing about him? Why is he doing this? Why is he welcoming the little children? I think there's two big reasons. The first one is because he loves them. That is first and foremost above everything else in this passage. Jesus welcomes the children because he loves them. And now we're going to see in a minute that he holds them up as an example to the people. But I truly believe if there wasn't a single adult around, Jesus would still welcome the children. They're not just there for an object lesson today. But he loves them. And part of the reason I think that is because Jesus welcomes everyone. We see that throughout the story, especially those that are marginalized in the society. The lepers who are not to be touched, Jesus touched them. The tax collectors who were not to be associated with, Jesus invited them to dinner. The women who were not to be taught, Jesus taught them. The children who were not to be in the presence of important people, Jesus set them on his lap and invited them in. Now, there's a lesson just in that today, and this isn't our conclusion to our sermon. I mean, it could be. You guys might have places to be. If you think that you're too messed up for Jesus to welcome you, or you're too unimportant, or no one really cares about you, that's not true. Jesus welcomes you. Jesus welcomes you. So, with what I've said so far, here's the second reason that I think Jesus welcomes the children. You can probably guess. Jesus welcomed them because they had something to teach. The children had something to teach the people around them. That's why Jesus welcomed them. And they had something to teach, especially the disciples. And if we look at this passage and actually this chapter, as Jesus is teaching the people, he's really off to the side teaching the disciples the whole time. It's really a neat part of Luke. But he has something to teach the disciples here. There was a lesson that his followers needed to learn, and the best way for them to learn this lesson was to see the example that the little children set for them. He had something he needed to teach them about the kingdom of God. And the best way for them to learn it was to say, hey, look at these kids. Let me show you something about these kids. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the ones who are like these little ones. And so that's a huge statement, is it not? So then the question is, what is it? What is it about these children? What is it that's about these children that makes them the ones we need to look to and say, this is what it looks like to be one who enters the kingdom of God? And that's the last verse in the passage today, and this is Jesus' view of faith. The world's view of children is that they're not important. Jesus' view is that they're so important we need to look to them to enter the kingdom of God. And why? It's because of their faith. Jesus says, now let me teach you a little something about what faith looks like. Verse 17, it says, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now this is the answer to our question that we asked at the beginning. What is faith? We learn a lot about faith from little kids. And here's two huge things. Here's two huge things that children have that we lose. As we grow, as we actually move into adolescence from being little ones, we slowly lose these things over time. And they're very dangerous to our faith. The first thing that we lose is humility. So the question is, you look at a little tiny child, a baby, because remember, where did the passage start? Infants, right? If you look at these little tiny ones, what do they have to brag about? What do they have to boast about? They can't even use the restroom yet. What do you have to brag about? They have no achievements, no possessions, no knowledge to put them above anyone else. In fact, I think it's kind of funny, a lot of times that one of the first things that a little kid brags about is their parents, huh? Yeah, yeah. Hey, I think my dad could beat up your dad. There's a pure humility in babies and in tiny children that we lose so fast. Arrogance comes so quickly as we grow. So humility is the number one thing. The second thing we learn from the kids is complete dependence. Complete dependence. You notice the passage starts with infants. Babies are completely dependent on their parents for everything. For everything. And the incredible thing is they're perfectly happy with that. They're perfectly happy with that. So much so that little kids who have horrible parents still don't understand. They still depend on them for everything. Complete dependence. Consciously or subconsciously, very little children understand that they have no ability to care for themselves. They need someone to do that. They need somebody to take care of them. There's that complete dependence. Those are the two big things that children have that we don't. Jesus says, no one will enter the kingdom unless their faith has these vital components. Saving faith in Jesus must have humility, recognizing that we have no accomplishments to boast about. Romans 3:23 and 6:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's quite the opposite of having something to boast about, isn't it? Is there anything more humbling than that? Here, let me show you. Let me show you how fantastic you are. You've all sinned. And guess what? You deserve death for it. And saving faith must have complete dependence on God, realizing that we can't do it. Ephesians 2:8-9, for you are saved by grace through faith, which we read at the beginning. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. And it goes on that it says, not from works, so that no one can boast. You don't do it. You can't take care of yourself. You have complete dependence. You have to understand your complete dependence on God. Those are two vital components to entering the kingdom of heaven. This is what saving faith looks like. Humility, a recognition that our works have brought us further from Christ, not closer. And a complete dependence, recognizing that we are completely dependent on God for our salvation. So here's what I want us to remember about the little kids. Little children show us the humble, dependent faith that brings us into the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. They demonstrate that for us. They show us that like nobody else. So in this passage, what follows this story is a parable. And we're going to go into this parable in depth when we get there in our parable study. But this is Jesus' conclusion to this teaching. So I want to go ahead and read it for you. And it's the parable about the rich young ruler. In Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23, what this is the opposite of the teaching of Jesus. What he does is he sets the example of the little children, and he says, this is what faith looks like. And then a story happens. This man comes to Jesus, and he says, this is the opposite. This is the opposite of what I'm teaching you about. And it just lays it out so clearly. So Luke 18, beginning in verse 18, it says, a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him, no one is good except God. Man, I wish we had time to talk about that verse. But listen to the rest of this. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Now, those are all acts that you do, right? He doesn't say, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's not the way he answers it this time. And it's very specific. He says, you know the commandments. And what is this guy's answer? I've kept all of these from my youth. From my youth. And in the very legalistic Jewish sense, because they had it all laid out of exactly what each one of these means, he probably was a pretty good commandment keeper. At least he thought he was. And so when Jesus heard this, he told him, you still lack one thing. You're still missing one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. This man was proud of his righteousness, wasn't he? I've obeyed these things. I've kept these commandments. He didn't possess humility. He didn't have it. And this man couldn't let go of his wealth. And we talked about that actually a little bit these last couple weeks. What does that mean? He didn't possess an understanding of complete dependence on God. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, you know how rich you are? Give it all away and come follow me. Now, do you remember when he walked up to the Peter and the fishermen and he said, come follow me? What did they do? They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. See, that's the example. That's someone who's ready to be completely dependent on Jesus. This man wasn't ready. This man depended on his wealth to take care of him. And because of this, once I understood that what Jesus is really teaching us here is about saving faith, about faith that brings you into the kingdom of God, then verse 23 becomes a really heartbreaking verse because it tells us he went away sad, extremely sad. He went away broken, not saved, not joyous. He went away broken. He didn't have the vital components of saving faith. They weren't there. So in this coming week, this building is going to be packed. It's going to be completely full with little kids running everywhere. And I have to tell you, they spill stuff and they break stuff and they're really loud. And a lot of times they don't pay attention and some of them cry. But this building is going to be full of kids. And kids with their beautiful smiles. And on next Sunday, we get to hear them share the scriptures with us and sing songs about Jesus. And if their presence here is going to remind us of the importance of true, humble, dependent faith, then I say, let the little children come. Amen. Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, as we come today, we recognize that in your sight, in your presence, we are all little children. Heavenly Father, that we have no righteousness of our own to boast about. Lord, that our works have brought us further from you and not closer. And we recognize that here today. We recognize that we have nothing to boast about. Nothing at all. Lord, I've tried to obey the commandments on my own, and I have failed miserably. I have not kept them from my youth. I can guarantee that. So, Lord, we recognize that we have nothing to bring of ourselves. And Heavenly Father, we recognize that we cannot bring ourselves into your kingdom. Lord, please clean out the idols from our life. Whatever it is that we depend on instead of you, whether it's ourselves or our finances or whatever it is, whatever it is that we depend on, whatever the idols are in our life, clear those things out of our lives and let us recognize that what we need is you and only you. Lord, we want to be wholly, completely dependent on you for our salvation and for our everyday provision and for our eternity. And so, Lord, we recognize that that's faith. And faith is so simple that little children, they demonstrate it to us. And yet it's so big that we need to pursue it all of our lives. And yet, Heavenly Father, it's a gift from you that you give to us. So, Father, we ask for that gift. We ask that you teach us. We ask that you continue to draw us close to you. And, Lord, there's a hard prayer this morning. But do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to humble us and for us to understand that we wholly depend on you. Because we know that entering the kingdom of God is so much more important than anything else we pursue in this life. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the work of Christ that has brought us to you when our works brought us so far away from you. Work in us this week. Do that amazing work in us this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.